The reading today is Micah 4. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and peoples will stream to it. Many nations will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between many peoples, and will settle disputes for strong nations far and wide. They will beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Everyone will stand up under their own vine and under their own fig tree, and no one will make them afraid. For the Lord Almighty has spoken. All nations may walk in the name of their gods, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever.
Hi, my name is Aubrey, and this is my reading. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it your time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now, give it is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much and harvested little. You eat but never have enough. You drink but never have you fill. You put on clothes but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house so that I can take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord.
One of the people I work with often quotes W. Edwards Deming. Every system is perfectly designed to get the results it gets. I find this quote challenging because it means that when we look around our world, if we don't like what we see, we can't just wish for a different result. We have to change the systems that created that result. But systems don't like to change. Systems like to perpetuate themselves. That is something we hear and see clearly in the prophets of the Hebrew Bible. Having settled into the new to them land and having demanded a king, the people are overwhelmed by the results they are getting. And they can't figure out why things are the way they are. Their community and their country have been divided because the king they wanted favored one part over the other. They are now regularly beset by invaders because, as a fractured country, they are more vulnerable. Soon they will be taken from their land to live in exile, particularly those with status who have been removed as a way of disintegrating the community even further. They want the results to be different, but they don't want to change the systems that created this mess. Now, how do we know they don't want to? Well, the story in our scripture is pretty clear. You see, by this time, God's people are actually worshiping many gods, all sorts of them, from all over the place. I mean, the covenant God set up with the people was pretty clear. I mean, it was etched in stone clear. God said, "I am freeing you to be my people. I am sustaining you, feeding you manna in the wilderness, so you will be my people and live the manna way. Keep me at the center of your living. Don't try to build yourself up at the expense of others, and let everyone share in what I provide." That was the manna way of living. It was a system designed to produce a world of harmony and wholeness. But the people saw the other gods around them, and they heard that the other gods were a bit more, let's just call it, transactional. You didn't actually have to live a certain way. You just had to make some sacrifices, and then you'd get better crops or more land or healthier children, that kind of stuff. So God's people figured, why not hedge our bets? Let's do that too. I mean, why not toss a few things on the other altars just to be safe, right? Now, mind you, with their own God, they keep going through the motions. They go through the motions with the "I am that I am" God that brought them out of Egypt. They do some singing. They say some words. I mean, just to be safe, right? But God sees through this charade. In fact, God says in the scriptures, through the prophet Amos, I despise your religious festivals. Your assemblies are a stench to me. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. God is not transactional. God desires to be transformational and relational. God doesn't want people just going through the motions for a chance to win a prize. So what does God want? Well, Amos continues with a more familiar phrase. But let justice roll down like a river and righteousness like a never-ending stream. Such powerful words, a vision of what God wants for the world. It was what God was trying to build through the people. This verse from Amos is one of the Bible verses that is better known than many others, primarily because of its use during the civil rights movement. But so few people who might, oh yes, I like that verse, could tell you that right before it, literally the sentences before, God was asking through the prophet that we would all quit going through the motions and that we would choose to live and worship through relationship with God and with one another, that we and our world would then be transformed through right living. But systems like to perpetuate themselves. When the prophet spoke God's word, the leaders, both the political and religious leaders, decided this was going to be a problem for them. So the leaders built their own team of prophets who would offer promises of prosperity and security, their own team out there giving good messages that supported the way things were. So then the people would hear one set of prophets telling them they needed to change, that they needed to think of others and they needed to follow the teachings of the wilderness school and live the manna way. And then the other prophets would tell them they didn't have to change at all. They could stay focused on themselves and everything would work out if they just tossed a dove on the altar. I venture you can figure out which message was more popular. Let's just say dove sales was a good business to be in. You see, this was the hard work of being one of God's prophets. You had to bring hard truths, truths that no one wanted to hear. In this way, prophets were like a mirror. God spoke through them to help the people see who they really were, to see why things were the way they were. You know, the prophet Haggai held up such a mirror when they wrote, "You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it." Then the prophet invited the people to return to the covenant ways, to return to that manna way of living, for God's way of living would ensure that everyone had enough. There was a group of people that were willing to do it, but that group was small. Our scriptures speak of a remnant, but God can do a lot with a little. That small group, that remnant, they needed encouragement. They needed to know that the way of living God invited them to was for a reason. It would produce something. And for that remnant to grow, they needed to be able to help others see the possibilities. In this way, the prophets were bringers of vision to help the people see there is something more, to envision and dream of what can be. My favorite Hebrew Bible scholar, Walter Brueggemann, said it this way: the task of prophetic ministry is to nurture, nourish, and evoke a consciousness and perception alternative to the consciousness and perception of the dominant culture around us. We need to show them something different. Give them a dream they can strive for. And we hear such vision in the words of prophets like Micah. You know, we sang the words of Micah 6:8 today. "What does the Lord require of you but to do justice and love mercy and walk humbly with your God?" Earlier in his writings, Micah cast a vision of what could be. An image of a holy city where God's will was lived out in a way that brought the entire world into relationship with a righteous way of living. Micah wrote, "They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Everyone will sit under their own vine and under their own fig tree, and no one will make them afraid." And so the remnant carried onward, marching toward a world where such a thing would be possible. You know, there was a moment of confluence this week as I reread the writings of the prophets and prepared for this sermon. As I did so, I also got to step outside and watch Dean Smith and Brandon Cawthon hang our big banner on the building. The new fastening system cares well for the building and the banner, and it looks great. Hanging on 200 square feet of banner are words that carry forward the prophetic tradition, both as a mirror and as a vision. See, there's an important relationship between the mirror and the vision. One helps us see how things really are, and one helps us see how they could be. These prophetic roles of mirror and vision, they need one another. Statements such as "Black lives matter," "No human is illegal," "Women's rights are human rights." These are statements that ask us to look at our world and our own actions, to measure what is with what God asks. And against this mirror, we can see the places and ways we and our systems are failing God's people. Now, for so many of us, this is not news. In fact, the realities of the brokenness around us leave us crying and weary. Much like the captives in Babylon, we weep next to a river because we can no longer sing songs of joy. Our hearts are tired, and we ask, how long? And that's where these statements serve as our vision. Each statement on the banner is rooted in Scripture, honors the Methodist tradition of social holiness, honors the gospel we see lived in Jesus, and plays a role in our desire to build a home where all belong. You see, statements like that vision is our Zion, the promised tomorrow that we are marching and working for. And when we look around our world and feel like a remnant in a strange land, when we look around and ask, "Isn't this supposed to be better?" God answers us through the prophets once again. Hear the words of Isaiah. "Just as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is the divine word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. It will not return empty, but will accomplish what God desires and achieve the purpose for which it was sent. You, O people, will go out in joy. You will be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills, they will burst forth before you in song, and the trees of the field will clap their hands." God's word, God's covenant, promises a world of wholeness and harmony. A world where systems work for the benefit of all people. A world where justice and mercy will roll down endlessly. Where all people belong and are cherished for who they are and who God created them to be. You see, this word of the Lord will not return empty when we will live the man away. That is our invitation in the prophets this day and every day. Amen.